It's April the 22nd. We are in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadikei Amud Aleph Chelek, and we're going to do this Maisa with David HaMelech and Yishbi B'Noiv. It's a very interesting Maisa. I do not have all the answers, but we're going to be this is a fascinating thing to follow through. And I'm going to present a mahalach which is interesting, but it won't be a complete thought. It'll leave some room for discussion. The Gemara tells us that David HaMelech that once it brought up the story of Noiv Yerakayanim because of the whole story with Oid Ayom B'Noiv La'Amoid, which was last week's shir. So then the Gemara moves into that David HaMelech was responsible for the murder of Noiv Yerakayanim. The Gemara says, "Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu David, an masayia avoyin ze tomud biyadcha. How long is this avoyin going to be in your hands? Going to be buried in your hands? Ayadcha neraga Noiv Yerakayanim v'ayadcha nitra doig hadami v'ayadcha neragu shol shoshes banav." So he blames David for the death of Noiv Yerakayanim. Now this is not so strange.
You're also going to talk about Doeg and Shol, right?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is not so strange because the story with Noiv Yerakayanim is that David HaMelech went there on his running away from Shol. And he needed food, he needed a weapon, and Achimelech, who was the Kohen Gadol, gave David food, and he gave him also the sword of Goliath. He had no food, he had no weapons, so he gave him the sword of Goliath.
This is the Lechem Pan.
Yeah.
So it wasn't his anyway?
Well, whatever. Yeah. So, okay, now... So the pasuk says, "Vayigim lechem apanim again." Right. So the pasuk says, "Vesham ish me'avdei shol bayoma hu netzar lifnei Hashem." We quoted this before. That over there in Noiv was somebody from the people of Shol, u'shmo doeg ha'adami abiraroim ashal shol. He was the Av Bezdin. So he's a tremendous talmid chacham. He was there learning Torah in Noiv Yerakayanim. Doeg ha'adami was a great man before he fell. So he witnessed the whole thing. Now later on, after Doeg HaDaimi tells the Lashon Hara that Achimatz and Noiv Yerakayanim that they helped David HaMelech, he tells that to Shol. So Shol then calls Achimatz and he accuses him of being married to Malchus. So Achimatz denies it. He says, "Yes, I did give to David, but I didn't know there was a crime." But the king says, "Mois Tamus Achimelech." That's Achimatz. Achimelech, Atavachol Beisavicha. So then, Shaul then commands. It says, "Vayom Melech LaRotzim Hanitzav Malav, kill them." The Rotzim are Avner and Amasa, who are also great Talmidei Chacham. Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yasser. They refused to do it because they held it was an avera. So then it says, "Vayomer Melech LeDoyeg or LeDoyeg Soiv Ato Pagaba Kainim." You go do it. You're the one who was malshin on them. You kill them. And Doeg did it. He killed all of them, and killed the whole city. So one person got away, as you know, and that's Evyasar. Now the pasuk then says, when Evyasar ran to David, it says, "Vayomer David LeEvyasar Yodati Bayom Hahu." I knew on that day, Kisham. Kisham Doeg HaAdoimi. I knew Doeg HaAdoimi was there. Ki Hagid Yagid L'Shol. I knew he was going to tell Shol. Anoichi Sabaisi B'chol Nefesh Beisavicha. I caused the death of your entire family. So David took responsibility, even though it's obviously he's remotely to blame because he needed the food, he needed the sword, and he was running from Shol. But he also was aware that Doeg was there, and he was aware that it was likely Doeg was going to tell Shol, and then who knew what the consequences would be.
The Gemara later is going to put the blame on Yohanan's son.
So it's complicated. It's not a single faceted issue over here. And obviously the blame on David is very, very minor. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik im chasid of kuchut ha-saira, and so David HaMelech is being blamed on his madrega. But what I'm pointing out to you is that David HaMelech himself took blame for this. It's not that Hashem made it up like, oh, David, you're to blame. And David said, I am? Now David knew he was to blame. He took responsibility for what happened. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him that because of this, the Daig Adam lost his chelik and Olam Haba, Shaul and his three sons were killed, Noiv Yerakanim was killed out. So he gave him a choice. Would you prefer to lose, your children will be wiped out, or you'll be given over into the enemy's hands? Now we know that eventually his children are wiped out, except for Yehoyash, and the Gemara later on Amud Beis asked the Kasha, what do you mean? If he was supposed to be, his old Zara was supposed to be wiped out, how could one survive? The Gemara says, well, with Noiv Yerakanim also one of them survived. Eviyasar got away. So it wasn't everybody who was killed. So too with David, it wasn't everybody who was killed, everybody except one. Okay. But David preferred, he said, I'd rather be killed, I'd rather be given over to the enemy, rather than my children be killed. Amud Farah Baruch Shalom, Mutav Emsar Biyad Ayev V'lo Yikol Azari. So better me than my children. Now, essentially what David HaMelech is saying is that it's more important that my line continues than that I live. Meaning that the line of David HaMelech is the line of Mashiach. And David HaMelech is saying it's more important that the line of Mashiach continues on rather than me personally being alive. Which means David HaMelech is saying that it's more important that what I can do to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my lifetime is not as crucial as the emergence of Mashiach in the future. So he that's what he prefers.
What if he had chosen the other?
Well, in the end, he did choose the other. Mm-hmm. Right? In the end, that's what happened.
Right.
Okay, so then you have this very strange Maisa where HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes him to be drawn to the land of the Plishtim because he's chasing after a deer, and Yishbi Benoiv, who's Goliath's brother, sees him, and he says, "Oh, this is the one who killed my brother," and he attempts to kill David. Now, the whole story here is a very strange story, because apparently he was able to grab David and tie him up, or at least to put him underneath the weight of the press, and we know that Yishbi Benoiv had a sword. Why did he just kill David? I don't know.
It's like in James Bond when they can just shoot him and they do this dramatic.
Right. And the whole thing is like that. And then
that's where they got it from.
When that doesn't work, and the Gemara says, but David HaMelech did bleed, there was bleeding of some sort, and the blood was seen by Avishai ben Tsruya, who was one of the great Gibayim of David HaMelech, which means he was one of the great Talmidei Chacham of the Dor, and he and then the whole strange nice about how, so he knew he had to rush quickly to go to David HaMelech, but he declared, am I allowed to take the prey of the king? Could I go on the king's donkey or his mule, whatever it was. Said, can I go on his So he didn't know his mule. He didn't know. So he went and asked the Shalom the base of Medrash. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, all right. So I don't have answers to this. So they ask him, yes, it's Pinoch Nefesh, you should go. Right? What was the Shiloh? The Shiloh was, is it mutter to be, essentially, to use the Dover of the Malchus, which is Marid B'Malchus, which is Chayav Misa, is that mutter to do in a case of saving the king himself? And I told him it was okay. I don't have an answer.
It's such a no-brainer. I understand.
Apparently it's not a no-brainer, right? If Avishai ben Tsruya, who was one of the Gedolei Ador, didn't know the answer, so it's not a no-brainer. I don't know.
What's the chesed?
Yeah, I don't know the chesed.
So fine, he's going to be dead, and then it's not going to be his anymore, right?
Right,
I mean, it's a big deal.
Right. So I don't know the answer.
So what did he write on? But he wrote on the Susan.
He went to get a
bathtub. He didn't write. What did he do?
He ran on his. He
didn't use a horse.
It wasn't a horse. He wasn't asking about a horse. I mean, the Mishnah says horse, but that wasn't.
Yeah.
Is it a donkey? Whatever it is. So they went, and he had Kvitzas HaDarech, and he got there in time. And now here's another funny thing. Yishbi Minov sees him coming, so he throws David up in the air and puts his sword underneath him. Why can't he just stick him with the sword? I don't know. Puts his sword underneath him, so he should fall on the sword. So Avishai says the Shem Hashem. David HaMelech is suspended in midair, and Rashi learns that not only was he suspended in midair, he was also thrown away from Avishai, from Yishbi Benoiv. And then Yishai says, "What's going on?" Yeah, Avishai says to David, "What's going on?" So David says the whole story. Avishai says, "No, it's better that your children be wiped out than you. Better your children should sell wax than you should be hurt, and that's always better that way." What was he saying to David? He probably, I'm surmising, he was saying to David that if you're alive, you can do tshuva. In other words, if you get killed, so then that's the gzera, it's over. But if the gzera is on your children, you still have the opportunity to do tshuva for the whole situation, or your children have the opportunity to do tshuva. In other words, you push off the puronius. At any rate, they still they're in Eretz Plishtim, which means that Yishbi Benoiv has the home court advantage. So he's running after them to kill them, and they're running away. And as they get to the border between Eretz Plishtim and Eretz Yisrael, they embolden themselves that perhaps they can fight. They get a little further in. They really embolden themselves. They turn around. Oh, and I missed a very crucial part of the story, which is that when Avishai was running to go get David with the Kvitzas HaDerech, he sees none other than Arpa, who apparently lived a very long time, just like Rus lived a very long time. You know, Rus lived all the way to see the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech. Now that's many generations. Rus, who was already 40 years old when she met Boaz, and then she has Oved, who has Yishai, who has David, who has Shlomo. So it's she lives to see her great great grandson when she didn't get married till she was 40. So she lived a very long time. She's Ima Shel Malchus.
But Orpah lived longer.
But Orpah also lived a long time, not longer. Not longer, because she's killed in this story.
Well, that's right.
Which is before Shlomo. But she died. She didn't die of natural causes. She was killed. She was murdered. Killed. So she was put to death. So she attempted. When Avishai was going past very quickly, she was involved in her knitting, her weaving, or whatever it is. What does it say here? It says that she was Navla. She was knitting or sewing. When she saw him, she took this heavy beam and tried to kill him with it. She threw it on him. It missed. So she told him, young man, go get my thing for me. He picked it up and he threw it on her head and killed her. Fine. End of Arpa. So then now that Yishbi Benoiv is running after David HaMelech and Avishai to kill them, they turn around and Avishai says to him, go look at your mother. She's in the grave. So that took the wind out of Yishbi Benoiv's sails, and then they were able to kill him. That's the end of the story. Beautiful story. Okay, so now
I have so many questions.
Yeah. It's a lot of questions. But what's that? Okay, so now the issue that I have is, besides all the details which I don't have answers to, but I want to show you a common thread that runs through the we'll call it the rivalry between David HaMelech and Doeg HaDoimi, and between Rus and Arpa. We know that, let's go through the stories as we know they happened. We know that the story begins with Eglon Melech Moav. Eglon Melech Moav was in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. He was one of the ones who was giving a lot of trouble to Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Ehud ben Gera, who was the Shaifet, and he is the one who kills Eglon, and then he saves Klal Yisrael from the Moavim. So the Gemara, the Pasuk tells us that he managed to sneak a weapon into the king's chambers, and he told the king, I have a Dvar Seser Lielecha, I have a very private matter to tell you. The king was not afraid of Ehud. He threw everybody out of his chambers, so now it was Ehud by himself. And then Ehud walked up to the king, and he said, Vayomer Ehud, Dvar Elokim Lielecha, I have a word of Elokim for you, a word of a God for you. Vayaka Me'al Hakisei, so he gets up from his throne. We had it earlier in Sanhedrin. So he gets up from his throne. And then Ehud stabbed him to death. Now, Eglon was a Rasha, but Lemaisa, when he heard the words Dvar Elokim Lielecha, I have a word of Hashem for you, he gets up. So Chazal tells us, Rashi quotes it over here, Vayoka Malakise Lekach Zacha Vyatza Menu Rus. And because of this he was Zaycha to have Rus. Because he had the covered of Hashem to stand up when he heard Hashem's name, that was why he was Zaycha to have Rus, who becomes the mother of Malchus. So he has a tremendous Zuchus, even though he was a big Rasha. But for that one Maisa, he's Zaycha to have Rus.
How many generations after was it?
I don't know. Now, it says that Rus was Bita Shel Egla Melech Moav, but it doesn't have to mean daughter. It can mean descendant. Yeah. Now,
maybe he just lived to be like 1,000 years old.
He was killed. He was murdered. He was put to death. I keep using the wrong word. Murder implies that it was wrong. He was rightfully killed. But, so, you know, this is in the time of Ehud, which is many years before David HaMelech.
Eliminated. He was resurrected.
Can we just throw in from Kuf Hay?
Yeah.
Eglon was Balak's grandson?
Yeah, that too. Right. Now,
show up.
No, it's true. True. Now, no, that will come up. Now, later on, when you have the story of Rus, you have Rus and Arpa, who are both their sisters, they're both descendants of Eglon Melech Moav. In the beginning of Megillas Rus, it could be either one, Rus or Arpa, who will be Ima Shel Malchus. The Megillas Rus is about the discovery of Rus, is finding that Preda Achas, that one bird in Moav that would justify Klal Yisrael not wiping out Moav when they entered Eretz Yisrael in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu he was not allowed to attack either Moav or Amon because he had to leave them alive because of Shtei Predos Tavos, two good birds. One of them is Rus, the other one is Na'ama, who marries Shlomo HaMelech. Now, when the beginning of Megillas Rus, they're both potentials for being Ima Shel Malchus. We know, of course, that after their husbands die and they lose all their money, and then they find out that the famine ended, so then they accompany Naomi back to Eretz Yisrael. So we know that Naomi tries to dissuade them because you're supposed to try to discourage Geirus, so to make sure that they're sincere. So Naomi says to them, she says, what are you coming with me for? Do you think you're going to have any future with me? Even if I would get married tonight, even if I would bear a child this evening, are you going to wait? Halahin tesaberna anasher yigdalu? Are you going to wait until they get older? Halahin te'agena? Will you be encircled, Rashi learns, entrapped? You'll just wait and you won't be able to marry anybody. Not to marry another man. Albinosai, don't do this, my daughters. It's more bitter for me than it is for you. Because the hand of Hashem has come against me. So they cried. They raised their voices. They cried more. And the crucial words: Tatishak Arpa lachamoisa. Arpa kissed her mother-in-law in farewell. Verus dov kaban. Rus cleaved to her. Now, Chazal tell us that Arpa took four steps. She took four steps with Naomi. And because...
Wasn't it 40?
I thought four.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, whatever it is, the number four is involved. So as a result...
Blasphemy.
She was Zaycheh, that she would have four Gibayrim. From her came Goliath and his three brothers. Yishbi Binayev is one of the three brothers. So she has four descendants who are all tremendous Gibayrim because she at least did something with the multiple of four with Naomi. Yeah.
I heard it was 40, and that was the 40 days that Goliath was Megadeth in the valley.
Okay.
It seems like such a merit.
Okay, so it's a merit in Olam Hazeh. That's the thing. Maybe it's the four tiers. This is another thing. Okay, but anyway, that's why she was Zaycha to have these four sons. Later on, when David HaMelech kills Goliath, that is the we'll call it a rivalry, but we'll call it the philosophical disagreement between Rus and Arpa of whether to accompany Naomi back to Eretz Yisrael in the end. They both wanted to at first, but in the end, Arpa turns back, Rus continues on. That manifests itself in their descendants, David against Goliath. And David killing Goliath is that final, or it's not really final, as we'll see this evening, but is another, it's a repudiation of Arpa's decision and an affirmation of Rus's decision. We know also that after Rus continues to go with her mother-in-law, she again tries to dissuade her by telling her, go back. So she says the famous lines. She says, "Ki al asher telchi eleich uvasher talini alina mechami velokayich elokay vasher tamusi amus v'sham ekaver." So she says, "I'm gonna go no matter what." And Chazal learn, Rashi brings it, that from here we derive what it was that Nami said to Rus. From what Rus said to Nami, we can figure out what Nami was saying to Rus. So Nami said to Rus that don't come with me because we're not allowed to go 2,000 amos beyond the Tchum on Shabbos. We can only go 2,000 amos on Shabbos. She says, Asher tel chielech, wherever you go, I'll go. So she says, we're not allowed to have Yichud. Basher tolini olin. And then she says, Tayag mitzvahs, amech ami, avodazara zaser, velokayach elokai. But there's Abramis's Beis Din, Bashat Amusi Amus. And there's two Batei Kvaros, Vesham Ekaver. So all the Mefarshim want to understand why are these the things that Nami picked to say to Rus, to try to discourage her, to see that she was sincere. I understand we have Tayag Mitzvahs. I understand Abramis's Beis Din. You know, it's severe. But Tchum Shabbos, Yichud, I mean, what are the, right? Okay, fine. Now, so that's the next part of the story. We move on, and we have David killing Goliath. And then we have our mice over here of Yishbi Benoiv attempting to kill David HaMelech. David HaMelech ends up killing Yishbi Benoiv, or he and Avishai kill Yishbi Benoiv. Now, what is interesting is that this we have to understand what is the difference of opinion between Rus and Nami. But moreover, wherever you find the rivalry between Doeg HaAdoimi and David HaMelech, you find a reference to Goliath. The first place where we find Doeg HaAdoimi and his rivalry with David HaMelech is when he kills Goliath. We know that the pasuk says when David goes out to kill Goliath, v'chiro shol as David yaitze likras haplishti. Then when he sees David go out to meet the plishti, Amar el Avner sarat salva. He says to Avner, Ben mizeh hanar. Who is this young man? Avner. Vayomer Avner chein avshecha hamelech im yodati. I swear I don't know. So the Gemara says when he didn't know, we already knew, huh? Yeah, David had been playing the harp for him for a long time. They knew each other. And who Yishai was a famous man. He was a big tzaddik. Everybody knew who Yishai was. So what was he asking about? So the Gemara tells us that he was asking because when Shol, as we know, was Mishichma Vamala Gavaya Mikolish. He was very, very tall. He was a tall, big man. David was not. And when he was ready to go out to fight Goliath, Shaul took his armor and put it on David, and it fit. It shrunk down to David's size. So that was terrifying to Shaul, because Shaul already knew he was going to lose the Malucha, because Shmuel had told him, when he didn't kill Agag, that Karah Hashem es Mamachus Yisrael Me'alecha, that you're going to lose the Malchus. So now that his armor, which was the king's armor, should shrink to the size of David HaMelech, that David, then it would seem to indicate that David has Malucha in him. So he wanted to know, is David from Peretz, in which case he's right to be Melech, or is he from Zerach, in which case he's not right to Melech, he's just going to be Chashev.
Even though Shaul gave it to him, is there any Merida for using the king?
No, there wouldn't be a Merida if the king gave it to you, but it was a slap in Shaul's face that it shrunk. David didn't wear it in the end. He saw that Shaul was bothered, so he took it off. He didn't wear the armor when he went out to Goliath. He was unclad in armor when he went out to Goliath. So Shaul asked, "Who is this?" So Doeg then he asked Avner. Doeg said, "Before you ask whether he's from Peretz or Zerach, first ask, is he Roy Lovel B'Kahal? because he comes from Rus Amayavia. And we know, Lo Yavoy Amayini Umayavi Bekal Hashem. They can't marry into Klal Yisrael. So, okay. So that's the first place, we're going to get back to that Gemara in a minute. But that's the first place where you have Doeg with his rivalry with David, and it comes up in the battle with Goliath. And remember, David versus Goliath is Rus versus Arpah. And that's where you find Doeg. Later, Doeg comes up again when in Navi Arkayanim. What happens in Navi Arkayanim? That Achimelech gives David the sword of Goliath. That was also symbolic of David now being able to take the weaponry of Goliath, that he is completely defeating Goliath, that he's taking over Goliath. There comes Doeg HaDoyim. He's there. He sees it. And he reports it. Navi Arkayanim is killed out. Navi Arkayanim becomes the reason why in our Gemara, David HaMelech himself is Chayiv Misa, because of Navi Arkayanim. And Hashem says to him, because through you, Doeg HaDoyim, he lost his chelek in Olam Haba. David says, I accept the Gzera, I'd rather be killed than my children be killed. Who comes to kill him? Yishbi Benoiv, Goliath's brother. And Arpa shows up in our Gemara as well. So the thread of Doeg versus David and Rus versus Arpa, they line up together. That's a common thread. You can follow it through. So what I would like to present to you is at least the beginnings of a mahalach. It's not a complete mahalach, but the beginnings of a mahalach over here and how to follow this through. The Gemara tells us in Yevamis on this halacha of Mayaviv v'loy Mayavis, where the Gemara says this story that Doeg HaDoyim questioned David HaMelech's right to be part of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Amalei Doeg HaDoyim, Anchata Mashil, it's Yevamis Ayin Vavim Beis, Anchata Mashil Alav Im Hagonu LeMalchus, before you ask whether he is fit to be king, Imlav, Shal Alav Im Roy Lava B'Kahal, Imlav, ask whether he's right to be part of Klal Yisrael or not. My time, why? Dekasi Mirus HaMayavia, he comes from Rus. Amalei Avner, so Avner said to Doeg, Tanina, we learned in a Mishnah, Amayni V'loi Amaynis, Mayavi V'loi Mayavis. Now there were no Mishnayis yet, right? So he was, the Gemara is using it poetically, meaning he said to him, we know the halacha is that it's Mayavi V'loi Mayavis, Amayni V'loi Mayavis, the women are permitted. So then Doeg said to him, Elameyata Mamzer V'loi Mamzeres. So same thing, why don't we say only a Mamzer is us or not a Mamzeres? So he answered, no, Mamzer Ksiv, which means Mumzar. Mamzer is out of the picture because Mumzar implies everybody. So he said, okay, what about Mitzri v'loi Mitzris? So he said, no, Shani Ach, here it's different, Tim Farish time of the crowd, because the Pasuk tells us why Mayav and Amon can't join Klal Yisrael. Al Devar Shalakidmo Eschem Balecho V'mayim, because they didn't come and bring us food and water when we left Mitzrayim, and they should have. And that Taina is only on the men, because Darko Shel Ish Lekadem V'loi Darko Shel Isha Lekadem. It's only the Derech of a man to go out. It's not the Derech of a woman. She's Tsanua. She's not supposed to come out. So therefore, the women are excluded from the Halacha. So then Doeg said to Avner, Hayalam Lekadem Anoshim Lekras Anoshim Anoshim Lekras Anoshim. The men should have brought food to the men, and the women should have brought food to the women. What's wrong with that? There's no lack of tznias there. Ishtik. So Avner didn't have an answer. So Miyad, so right away, Vayomer Melech, so Melech said, Shala ta ben mizeh ha'elam. Go find out who he is. Gemara is darshins that you forgot the halacha, go ask in the Beis Medrash. So Doeg went out to the Beis Medrash and asked, what's the halacha? Is it Mayavi v'loi Mayavis, or is it Mayavi and Mayavis? So he asked the halacha, and they said it's Mayavi v'loi Mayavis. So he said, but then what about Mamzer? And they had the same shaklavataria, and finally he said to them that the men should have gone out to the women to the women. And they didn't have an answer. They didn't know the answer. So Doeg won the debate, whether it's Mayavi v'loi Mayavis or Mayavi v'afilu Mayavis. And Doeg won the debate, coming out that the women are included, and therefore David HaMelech is not Roy Lavo B'Kahal. So the Gemara says that Uboy Lachruzi Ale, they wanted to announce that David is not Roy Lava Bakahal. Miyad Vamasa ben Ish Ushmo Yisra Yisraeli Asher Boy Alavigail Bas Nachash. It goes on to say this person, it's Amasa, it's Mustam Amasa ben Yasser. And he comes and he says, it says, Hayishma'eli, Amarava Melamit Shechagar Charbo Ki Yishmael. He took his sword like Yishmael. He wasn't a Yishmaeli, but he took his sword like a Yishmaeli. Vamar, he said, Kol Mishenu Shamei Alacha Zu Yidokar Becher. Whoever doesn't listen to this Alacha will be run through with the sword. Kach Mechublani Veistino Shal Shmuel Haramasi. This is my Kabbalah from the Bezin of Shmuel. Amoini V'loi My Amonis. Mayavi V'loi Mayavis. Finished. End of story. End of discussion. It's mutter. It's Mayavi V'loi Mayavis. The Mepharshim say, the Briskarav is a famous halach in this whole Gemara, that he was saying it's a halach al-Mashri Sinai. It's not subject to debate. You can debate something using the Yud Gimel Midas, Tar Shabal Peh can be debated. But a halach al-Mashri Sinai can't be debated. It is what it is.
And Bismarck just didn't know that.
They didn't know it was halach al-Mashri Sinai. Right, they didn't know that. He came to Mecharesh, it is a halach al-Mashri Sinai, you can't debate it. Mayavi V'loi Mayavis. Frek the Gemara. Good. But what about Dayeg's Taina? It's a good Taina. Why didn't the women go out to the women? It's still a good, strong question. You'll tell me he's wrong. Fine. But why is he wrong? What about the Taina? The women should have gone out to the women. Zuck the Gemara. Two different answers. Either Kol Kvuda Basmelech Pinima, the Pasuk says all the covet of Basmelech is inside. And the other one is because Vayomru Eila Vayei Sara Ishtecha Vayomru Hineva Oyel, that Sarah was in the tent. So to show the tznius of a woman. Now, what's the Gemara's answer? Dayeg wasn't suggesting the women shouldn't have tznius. He said, of course, the women shouldn't go out to the men. The men should go to the men. The women to the women. So what is the point that the Gemara is saying? Kol kvuda basmelech penima hinei ba'ayel. What is the Gemara saying over here? So apparently the Gemara is saying that there's tznius and there's tznius. The Gemara is saying that of course Dayeg understood that women have to have a degree of tznius and they can't mingle with the men. That's pashut. But that there should be an extra measure of tznius, that they shouldn't go out even to greet the women. Even that is incorrect. Even that is a lack of tznius. That was a subtlety that Dayeg did not agree with. The machlokes, whether you say mayavi v'loy mayavis, and therefore David is permitted, or you say mayavi v'afilu mayavis, and therefore David is not permitted, is whether you hold that women should have this extra measure of tznius or not. According to Dayeg, that higher level, whatever that level is, which I'm not prepared to define in any way, just from what we have in this Gemara, but that kol kvuda basmelech panima, which demands a level of tznius that doesn't even warrant that women should go out to greet the women, even that is too much. That Dayeg HaAdami held that's not true, that it is appropriate for the women to go out to greet the women. Therefore, it's mayavi v'afilu mayavis, because the women are also to blame, and therefore David is not roi lava b'kahal. But be'emesin, we paskin not like that. We paskin mayavi v'loy mayavis, because women have an extra measure of tznius that they should have, and therefore there is no taina against the mayavi women, and therefore David is roi lava b'kahal. So the rivalry between David and Dayeg is this measure of tznius. This, it's a very subtle measure, because where do you apply it? I'm not prepared at all to answer that question, except for what we have in the Gemara. I don't know where it goes. But there apparently there is a subtlety of kol kvuda basmelech penima, which is beyond what one would have said is regular tznius, that through that David becomes mutter lava b'kahal. That's the rivalry. If that is so, then it would seem to me that when Rus and Arpa are both there and they are both eligible to become Ima Shel Malchus, and Rus ends up becoming Ima Shel Malchus, Arpa turns back, then it would seem to me that we're going to find the same subtle difference between Arpa and Rus. They were both prepared to go back with Nami. Nami tried to stop them. They both said, "We're going with you." Nami again tried to stop them, and finally Arpa went back. And Rus stayed with her. And then she tried to dissuade Rus, and Rus stuck with her.
there is a subtle difference between Rus and Arpa as well. Something subtle, it would seem to me, at least part of it, is going to find expression in this same machlokes. Arpa wasn't ready to adopt that measure of tznius. To become part of Klal Yisrael, yes, but not to that degree of tznius. While Rus was willing. How do we see this? So I'm suggesting that what I asked before, which all the Mefarshim ask, that how did she try to discourage her? How did Naomi try to discourage Rus? So she says that you can't go out on Tchum Shabbos, then Yichud, then she says Tarag Mitzvahs, Avodah Zarah, Mises Beistin. So Tarag Mitzvahs, Avodah Zarah, Mises Beistin, all that makes sense. Of course you have to tell somebody the severity of the Mitzvahs. But why Tchum Shabbos? Why Yichud? So it seems to me that the difficulty, the hard part in accepting tznius, the real difficulty in accepting tznius, it's not a question of how long clothing should be or whatever it is. The difficulty in accepting tznius, because what is tznius? Tznius means to hold back what you have. It means to keep back what you have and only use it in very specific circumstances. Tznius applies to men as well, as we know. A person who is wealthy and flaunts it is not being tzanua. A person who flaunts anything they have is not being tzanua, not just wealth. That's a lack of tznius. But of course, tznius defines a woman. Tznius doesn't define a man. It is one of the mitzvahs a man has to do. It doesn't define him. That's the way Maharsha Shiva put it, Rav Weinberg's Chacham Bracha. But for women, it defines who a woman is. So the it seems to me that that's part of what Rus was telling them. She was telling them, Halahain tisaberna arasha yigdalu. Are you going to wait until they get older? Halahain te'agena. Are you going to be encircled, entrapped until they get older? You're going to wait? Entrapped, Rashi says, from Lashon Ug Uga, to draw a circle, to stand in the circle like Chani Amago. I'm not leaving the circle. Just to sit there in the same circle, you're going to sit there entrapped? That's a very difficult thing to do. To be able to say, I'm just going to be in my own circle, I'm not going to go out of the circle, that's a very tough pill to swallow. Are you going to do that? And with Rus, she says to her, Tchum Shabbos, you can't go out 2,000 Shabbos. You're stuck in your very, very clear and limited boundaries. You can't go out of those boundaries. This is what you want to do? Yichud is aser. This is what you want to do? She was enumerating boundaries, which is one of the toughest things for a person to submit themselves to. We know this from the Maisa of Shimi ben Gera. But that's the way that Shlomo HaMelech, with his Chachma, managed to make Shimon ben Gera Chayav Misa. Because he told him, stay in Yerushalayim and never leave. He couldn't take it. Well, you think, you're in Yerushalayim. The best place in the world to be. But he couldn't take the command that you can't leave. It's very hard to do that. The real challenge of tznius is to be able to say that I am not going out of my very particular specific boundaries. That's a very hard thing to do. It seems to me that Arpa demonstrated that she couldn't go that far, while Rus demonstrated that she could. And therefore Rus in herself is the justification for David HaMelech. She's the one Mayavis who was able to show that this measure of tznius is true. Meaning, Arpa, who couldn't accept this level of tznius, Taka, there's a tain on her. Why didn't she go out to bring food to the women? Her type of woman. Because if you're not going to demonstrate that level of tznius, you should have gone out to the women. Why didn't you? But Rus is demonstrating that no, that we have this extra measure of tznius, or I have this extra measure of tznius. So on her, and women like her, there's no taina. And therefore, she herself justifies the existence of David HaMelech. Yeah.
It just strikes me as odd when you go through the Megillah, as soon as Rus comes back, she goes out, and she's there collecting with the Bacharim.
Right.
And then Boaz.
Right.
So Yichud with Boaz.
That was Naomi's plan. That wasn't her plan.
She submits to it.
Okay, so I'm going to get to that. Okay.
So it just seems very like...
So, yeah, no, you're right. So now, I'll touch on that. Now, it seems to me that when David is fighting Goliath, it's the same issue. It's this subtlety of what is the correct Mahalach. David kills Goliath, Rus over Arpa. That in itself affirms Rus was correct and Arpa was wrong. That flies in the face of Doeg HaDoimi, because Doeg's whole premise is that Arpa was right and Rus was wrong. That Mayaviva Filu Mayavis, that this measure of tznius is not needed, is not the way it's supposed to be, this extra level. And so therefore, every time we find a mention of Doeg, it's somehow intertwined with Rus and Arpa, because it's the same rivalry. Now, I could be wrong about how I'm applying tznius, but it seems to me that they are going to be the same rivalry. Whatever we're going to say pshat is between Rus and Arpa is also going to be shot between Doeg and David. Now, this becomes, in the end, a very difficult challenge for David HaMelech.
But you're saying that tznius is true, then why do we have to say that it's a halacha moshe mishina? Why do we have to say, why can't we just say, no, it's not tznius? I mean, why? It seems like you're saying it's very clear. Oh, no, really, that's not tznius.
Well, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says, kol kvura bas melech. The Gemara ends up saying...
But then why does the Gemara say that?
Oh, I don't know.
Why is that not the answer to Doeg?
I don't know. I mean, it's not a pasuk. Ayeba Ayel is a pasuk in the Chumash. I don't know. That's a good question on the Gemara in Yevamos. You can ask that kasha. But the Gemara says, Allah Chumash Yisina. Then the Gemara says, okay, so what's the answer? What do you mean? The answer is Allah Chumash Yisina. So if there's an answer, right? So it's a good question. I don't know. This becomes, in the end, very challenging for David HaMelech, because Malchus, and this really may be where Doeg was coming from, that Malchus, the Ma'arav Shiva, Rav Weinberg, Zohar Aruch used to say, Malchus is Nukva, Malchus is feminine, because Malchus is Chesed. Malchus, the Kayach of Malchus is Chesed. When we say, Ala Torah, Vala Avoida, Vala Gmilas Chasadim, Torah, of course, is Torah, Avoida is Kuhuna, Gemilas Chasadim is Malchus. That's the three Ksarim. Keser Malchus is Keser Chesed. Gemilas Chasadim. Which is Chesed is Nukva. Chesed is the Kayach of a woman. The Chesed of Bnei Yisrael. What becomes very challenging is, this again from Rav Shiva of Weimar's Home Racha, he pointed out that we know that the line of David HaMelech is fraught with scandal. All the way through. And there's plenty of mafarshim talk about this, that it's deliberate because, and we've talked about it before, that it's deliberate in order to prevent the Satan from undermining the line of David HaMelech. Because the line of David HaMelech is the most important line, and therefore it has to be in several situations where it's where the line is almost sinful.
Satan's such a sucker.
Well, if it's very close, it's not tricking the Satan. It's that it's so close, the Satan is hoping that we're going to cross the line, that the person involved is going to cross the line. And it's right up against the line, but he doesn't cross the line. So you find that, of course, with Light and his daughters, with Yehuda and Tamar, with Bayaz and Rus, and then David and Bathsheba. Now, the first three were not failures. They did what they were supposed to do. Light and his daughters, even though there is a little bit of a tie on Light, but the daughters did the right thing. Then you have Yehuda and Tamar, where Yehuda acted correctly. There's no taina on Yehuda for what he did. And Tamar for sure acted correctly. And Bayaz and Rus, there's no taina on them. They did exactly what they were supposed to do, even though it appears scandalous the whole way through. David, though, is blamed for a mistake with Bathsheba. Now, of course, it's a very subtle mistake, and it's on his madrega. It's a very, very minor mistake, whatever it was, but it's on his madrega. My Rosh Hashiva pointed out, very interestingly, that he didn't go further than that. What I'm going to tell you is all he said. He said that you find in these four Maisim, the first three Maisim, the women initiate. Light's daughters initiate the contact with Light. Tamar initiates with Yehuda. She goes and sits on the crossroads. Rus initiates with Boaz. Not her own idea. Naomi sends her to go to Boaz. Boaz swears he's not going to touch her till the next day. So that's Boaz rejecting going that far. But Lamaisa, the whole thing is initiated by Rus. With David and Bathsheba, it's David who initiates. And Rashiva said that we don't know what... he said it's for sure that David was supposed to marry Bathsheba. It's for sure. That was what was supposed to happen. But not in that way. It would have happened anyway in a more correct manner. What was the more correct manner? We don't know. But if it's going to follow the pattern, it would seem that David should have waited for Bathsheba to initiate. Why would Bathsheba have initiated? We don't know. whatever the circumstances would have happened, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have set up for Bat Sheva to initiate. But somehow there would have been an initiation on her part. The initiation on a woman's part is against tznius. We know that when it comes to these sorts of things, particularly tashmish, intimacy, that a man has to initiate. That fakert, it's usher for a woman to be tavea bepeh. Woman's not allowed to ask bepeh. She's allowed to demonstrate that she's interested, but she can't be tavea bepeh. She can't deliberately ask. It's usher. It's not tznius. Only a man can do that. So for a woman to initiate is a very, very dangerous thing. It's going against gidrei tznius. And we're saying this whole time that the whole point of Rus over Arpa and David over Dayeg and Mayavi Veloy Mayavis over Mayavi Vafilo Mayavis is this extra measure of tznius. And yet, it seems that for Malchus, because Malchus is Nukva and because Chesed is Nekeva, you have to have some degree of a woman doing more than what a woman would normally do. Stepping a little bit out of that Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima. Or, saying it a little differently is, pushing the Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima to the very edge of what's appropriate and not going over the boundary, which is very, very difficult. Who knows what that line is, and how do you toe the line so carefully? Tiptoe right along the line. But that's what you find over here. That's what you find. I wonder if the reason why David did not succeed with Bathsheba is gufa because of this. Because since he understood the Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima, he understood that extra measure of tznius, he was not prepared to allow that tznius to be challenged. Because that challenges David HaMelech's own existence. Because that is Doeg's idea. And in so doing, he goes too far and undermines himself. It's all very, very subtle. The whole Ma'aseh of David HaMelech is very, very subtle. But I just wonder if that's the struggle over there, where David is not sure, David is much sure, he's thinking this through. But I'm saying that the struggle is exactly where you go on that line.
Is it possible that there's some kind of a correction when ultimately Bathsheba comes to David to initiate for her son to be the king?
That could be. You mean with Nasan Anavi?
Right.
Yeah, that could be. There's something over there. That could be. I mean, the correction is going to happen with Mashiach. I mean, David, the line isn't broken. The line is still there with Mashiach. I'm not a Navi, but it would be shocking if whenever Mirzah Hashem, we should all see Melech Mashiach speedily in our days, but when it happens, it will be shocking to me if it doesn't happen through some type of scandal. It seems to be a scandalous Maisa. It would just seem to me that just from the pattern of things, that it would have to happen like that. I don't know, I could be wrong, but that's what I would be surprised if it didn't happen that way. Person has to be very careful not to justify their actions because they're trying to make something like this come true. We don't have to help it out. It'll happen through HaKadosh Baruch Hu making Mesabev Sibois, and it'll take place. And we know that we have to, of course, be very careful with tznius. Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima. Nice, and we paskin Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima Hinei Ba'ayel, that even to go out to greet the women was incorrect. That's how we paskin. There is that extra level of tznius. For us in America today, it's almost unheard of, impossible to understand that level of tznius. We are so shakua in the popular culture, we don't even realize how off base we are when it comes to the questions of tznius. I'm not just for women, for men also. We don't understand that we're so far gone. I'm not excluding myself from this. We all think that we're acting in a tzniustic way. I am sure that we are so far off from reality when it comes to tznius. Because the society we live in is so beyond.
Maybe that just means that we're the generation of Mashiach.
Could be.
Because even the whole could generation.
Be. It could be.
Scandalous.
So anyway, this is a mahalach in this thread, in this line. I thought it was a very interesting thread to follow in the Rus, Arpa, Doeg, David rivalry. Yes?
So on a level, David and Goliath are fighting over a hair's breadth.
Right. Goliath doesn't realize it. He's a descendant of Arpa. But it's clear that David and Goliath is Rus versus Arpa. That's clearly what's happening over there, without question. So then you have to... Goliath doesn't know anything, but that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges the whole thing. You know, it's interesting also to follow the line of Goliath versus Shaul HaMelech. There's also that as well, because Goliath is baiting Shaul to come out to fight him, but Shaul won't come out to fight him. Earlier, when the Plishtim got the Aron from because of the war, and they grabbed, they took the Aron away from Klal Yisrael, the Medrash says, and Rashi brings it in Sefer Shmuel, that the one who came to tell about the defeat was Shaul, because he Goliath is the one who grabbed the Aron. He got the Aron during the battle. He was there at the battle. His name is not mentioned. He was there at the battle and got the Aron. Shaul grabs the Luchais and runs. So the Plishtim never got the Luchais. Shaul grabbed the Luchais out of the Aron and took off.
The broken ones or the thick?
No, this was not. They usually took the Aron with the broken Luchais out to war. Now they took the Aron, the real Aron, with the real Luchais, with the Luchais Shnias out to war. That was the problem over here. They shouldn't have done that. But they never got the Luchais, because Shaul grabbed them out of the hands, I think it says out of the hands of Goliath. So Goliath was actually holding the Luchais, and Shaul swiped them and ran, steal the bagel. Right? So that was their first meeting. This is their second meeting, where Goliath is baiting Shaul. Ha, come out and fight me now. That's what was going on over here, when David is the one who goes out and fights Goliath. So there's also that line to follow, which I don't have in my mouth right now.
Can we ask some questions now?
I don't have any answers. You can ask. I don't have any answers.
Why is it the only option? First of all, how does the entire city of Qumran merit being killed?
Who says they merited being killed?
Merited.
Who says they deserve to be killed? I mean, they didn't.
Then why were they killed?
You think that everything that happens is because a person deserves it?
So, when it happens on a sort of rather divine and grand scale...
Why is this divine and grand scale? Da'iha Da'imi did something wrong.
How many people did he kill?
A lot. It says he killed 85, and then they killed the whole city. Men, women, and children. Everybody.
By himself. Seems divine.
Whether his method was divine or not, he's responsible. He loses his chelik in Olam Haba. That's pretty serious.
I'm not saying that he didn't initiate it, but I mean...
I don't know. It doesn't say. It says that they didn't want to kill the 85 Kohanim who were there, and Dayag went and did it. Maybe the guards kept them from running away. I don't know.
Why is the only option for punishment is that he's killed or his offspring are killed?
I'm not sure about that either. I don't know. I'm not sure. The story is bizarre. I don't have answers to the...
If they can kill Yishbibunov, they can cause... use God's name to cause David to levitate.
Yeah, right.
And he just killed.
You're not supposed to use the Shem Hashem so easily, but I don't know. I don't understand. I do want to point out, thank you for reminding me, that's also, I'm using this whole thing to explain why here Arpa is killed. That's Arpa being killed is the final end to the Kayach of Arpa. The Kayach of Dayag, the Kayach of Arpa, finally ends in this Maisa. Dayag's already gone, but Arpa was still alive. So her kayak in the world is finally removed with this Maisa.
It's very interesting. The Mishnah says that there are four Hedyotos that don't have a Chelek. And Balak being the great-great-grandfather of Ruth and Naomi, it ties in that all four were connected David HaMelech.
Achitophel, Dayeg.
Achitophel and Gehazi.
Well, Gehazi is not David.
Is it Gehazi?
No, no, it's on, actually.
Quick turn
off. Oh, no, let's see. Let's see.
Don't put this part in. Edit.
Oh, he's Gehazi. Never mind.
Yeah. All right. Gehazi is an enigma in and of himself. Okay. Anyway, that's it.
The three of us are.